welcome to another episode of Club Kingsnake Web Radio. Today we've got a really special guest with us. We've got Kerry King from the metal band Slayer. How are you today, Kerry?
Back from the 100-degree heat, not bad. Gross out here.
Didn't you used to live in Arizona for a while?
Yeah, I did, but it's not supposed to be 100 degrees anywhere in April.
Last time I spoke with you, I was actually in California in the studio. You invited me over to check out some of the recording. Boy, that was an awful lot of fun. How's the recording going?
Cool. I got working on leads right now and getting Tom's vocals happening. So once leads and vocals are done, it's just mixing and, you know, then all the record company junk to get it out.
So do you think it's progressing on schedule?
I don't know what our schedule is, but it's progressing.
It's progressing? There you go. Well, it sounded pretty neat when I was there.
It sounds a lot better now.
Does it? Boy, I tell you, listening to that drum part over and over again for about 6 hours was about enough to drive me nuts.
Oh, that was that day.
It was that day. What's the new album going to have on it? Anything special, anything neat that you want to tell us about?
No. We got all our neatness out with the first record, you know, and then we just embellished on it ever since.
Okay. It's not going to be a Rain in Blood 2?
No. It'd be stupid to try to do that. It's going to be good, but I don't know if anybody's going to say it's Rain in Blood 2.
It's kind of tough once you make a masterpiece to go back and hit quite the same marks, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. You know, I mean, if we got caught up trying to remake that, we'd probably fail miserably and wouldn't have the fan base we have now.
Yeah. Once you're done with the album, you're going to take a couple months off, and then you're going to do a U.S. tour, aren't you?
Not a couple. By the time this is done, I'm pretty sure we won't have a couple months because we start June 20th on warm-ups in Canada and select places that the Mayhem tour is not going to.
And by the time you hit the States, you'll be full-blown Mayhem. You'll have Manson with you. You'll have, what, 20, 30 other bands?
Yeah, 15, 20. I don't know. I haven't kept track, really. Okay. Been too busy in the studio.
It sounds like it's going to be an interesting show. I caught Mayhem last year, and, boy, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, actually, I went and saw Slipknot on it last year, right after we got back from touring someplace. I guess we were in Europe, and they were great.
Do you prefer the big Mayhem-type festivals, or do you prefer the more intimate two- or three-band tours?
I would personally rather do a smaller tour, but not intimate to where you'd say like a theater or something. I just like to be completely in charge for one thing, and with a two- or three-band bill, you get to play a real set, you know? Yeah. There's like 15 bands. I'd be surprised if we played more than an hour, just because time doesn't allow it.
Is there anything new on the stage set this year that we can look forward to that you can give us a hint?
We've talked about some stuff, but we've been too busy with the record to even worry about it. So we're going to play at most two new songs because we're going to have such a limited set list.
Do you have any of the song titles for the new album that you can let us know about?
Probably not. Okay. It's just, even though some have names, that's probably going to be what they're going to be called. I don't like to let titles out until I'm sure, because if I don't use it, that puts it out in the open for somebody to steal before I get around to using it again. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Well, I got some great titles, and I'm pretty sure 5 or 6 right now have titles that they're going to keep, but I just can't let it out yet. A couple weeks I can.
Is there anybody's albums that you're currently listening to?
No, you know, we've been recording for 2 months, and I won't listen to anything new because I don't want to be adversely influenced while I'm writing. Like, I got the new Lamb of God, and everybody tells me it's great, but I won't play it just because I don't want to inadvertently make up something that sounds like it, you know what I mean?
Who are some of the bands that you used to listen to growing up? I know when I was out there, I was amazed at some of the bands that were playing in L.A., and one of the people that I saw that was coming was Michael Schenker and the Michael Schenker Group.
Yeah, we were supposed to go to that. It was me who was going. Dave was going, our engineer, my tech, and we found out through people at the House of Blues that he didn't get his visas worked out properly, so the show was canceled. But we were all going to go check out Michael Schenker.
Who were some of the older guys like that that you really listened to before you became a professional musician? Some of the bands that got you into metal?
Priest, Venom, Ozzy and Sabbath, obviously. Maiden, Eddie Van Halen for guitar playing.
Is there anybody new out there that you see that's got that same kind of charisma as the old metal?
I think it's different these days, even though there's people with adequate talent or people that do everything right as anybody else did. It's just the gaudiness is gone, you know what I mean? Like the big spectacle. There's nobody that I'm aware of that's a killer band that is part of the spectacle anymore. You know, it's just like, you know, we play, we're cool, and that's about it. There's no extra. By extra, I mean, love him or hate him, Marilyn Manson, you know, he's an icon by himself. Doesn't matter who's playing with him, and that's hard to do. I don't think anybody's going to do that again for a long time because I just don't see it coming down the pipe.
He sure does put on a good show.
Yeah. When he picks out a killer set list, man, I'd be there every time. He's got some great songs historically. Then you never know what's going to happen. That's cool.
Is there anybody you'd like to tour with, band-wise?
I pretty much got them all covered, man. I was lucky enough to be a part of Pantera's last U.S. tour. We were supposed to be part of their last European tour, but that was when 9/11 hit, and they came home, and we continued to play. So I'm glad, number one, I got to play with Pantera, who are my friends, but to be a part of their last tour is even more special.
Well, I know you were part of the Dimebag Darrell salute at Ozfest last year. How did that come about?
Well, I'm friends of the family. Rita's been, Dime's ex, has been bugging me to do the Dime tribute for a long time, and something would always come up. I couldn't do it, so finally that came around, and she's like, you know, I used to play Hostile with them on stage all the time, so I was going to play Hostile, and she's like, you want anybody to play guitar with you? I'm like, hell no, man. Dime would laugh at me if I had somebody playing on stage with me. He played by himself. I'm playing by myself. It was cool.
So last time when I was out there, you know, we hung around in the studio. Then the next day we went over to your house, and I got to check out your snake collection again. And you had a bunch of stuff that was swollen up, pregnant, ready to drop eggs. Have you gotten any eggs yet?
I got, I think I'm on my seventh batch. I think my eighth total, but one was bad from the get-go.
The reptile thing's, you know, something we've covered in depth with you over on our reptile site in an interview that we had earlier in the year. But I don't know how many people are aware that you are a hobbyist / commercial reptile breeder. How long have you been keeping reptiles?
I got my first one in 84 after our first U.S. tour.
You worked with a lot of the famous reptile people out on the West Coast, too, people like Lloyd Lemke.
Yeah, Lloyd used to broker a lot of my stuff. I didn't have time to deal with people, for one, and two, it's much easier to let him, at that point, sell things for it, because it wasn't about the internet back then. It was about priceless and mailing, and I just didn't have time for it. I'd be producing killer stuff, which I probably wouldn't have gotten more notoriety had I sold it myself, but it couldn't happen.
You're starting to work out there on the web, though.
A little bit.
I noticed that you had a few ads up on our site.
Yeah, and it reintroduces you to the flakiness of people. That's a bad part of any retail or commercial business, is dealing with the flakiness of anybody, because people are, you know, flakes by nature.
It doesn't seem to be limited to the reptile industry or the rock and roll world, does it?
No. People are my endless inspiration for horrible lyrics.
The politics also doesn't seem to vary too much between rock and roll and reptiles. There's always politics out there.
Well, it's politics in anything, you know. I used to show dogs, and I got out because it got so political. And it's like, I didn't know we were running for president here. This is ridiculous. It's a fucking dog show, you know what I mean?
What do you think about this House Resolution 669 that's coming out that wants to take away your reptile?
Yeah, where did I start? Number one, we live in America. That doesn't sound like very home of the free to me. When you're being told what you can and can't keep for the first time in history, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I know a couple people that are for that bill, Hawaii and Guam. I understand their situation. This isn't Hawaii or Guam, you know what I mean? Tell people in Iowa they're going to have a problem with wild Burmese pythons, and they'll laugh till they die.
What would you... I know that the hearing for this thing is on Thursday. It's just a couple days away. What would you suggest people do?
You should call or fax your congressman today about H.R. 669. I'm sure you have information on your site, so check out, if you haven't checked out, all the information you got.
Now, you've been not only a supporter of reptile breeding and the hobby, you've been a supporter of reptile conservation as well, haven't you? You stopped by and shook hands with people over at the IRCF booth last year, the International Reptile Conservation Foundation.
Oh, I make the rounds. You know, the really cool part about my job is, you know, I get paid to go around the world and tour and entertain loads of people, which is cool in itself, but I also get the opportunity to see firsthand a lot of people's collections and what they're breeding and, you know, hush-hush stuff. You get to see firsthand because you're actually there. This last year was the first year I ever did it internationally. Well, I shouldn't say that because I went to JBC years ago, but this year I went to Precision Reptiles. Every time I come through the stage, I see Pete Call. I see Bushmaster. I see Kevin McCurley at Nerd. You know, I get to make the rounds and see my friends and see all kinds of new stuff.
When you're out of the country and you're stopping at a reptile show or a reptile breeder's house, do you ever get that urge to just bring one home with you?
One wonderful thing about Europe is I can't import from there. It's not a big deal. So other than the pain in the ass of dealing with customs and all that, at the end of the day, I would do that 100 times rather than not have the right to have them, you know what I mean?
So how many snakes do you currently have?
Probably about, I think, 120-ish is a good fair estimate.
That would be considerably more snakes than guitars, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't keep a lot of guitars. They just take up space. Kind of like snakes do, but guitars won't reproduce.
How many guitars do you take with you when you go on tour?
Probably 10 or 12. Probably about 10, because I think that's what my Tech's guitar boat holds. Probably holds 10.
When you guys go on tour this time, it's, you know, you're going to be traveling with basically a caravan of bands.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Do you guys all go raid a Ramada Inn someplace and just all take over the inn?
Well, you got to understand, a lot of these bands are new, and they probably won't even be staying at hotels. We do. And, you know, we've been in the biz so long that we stayed at a lot of really kick-ass nice hotels. And on days off, we'll spend the money and pick the nicest hotel in town. But we don't do it every day anymore, because if you're only there to sleep, it doesn't make any sense. But if you're on a day off, you want to be catered to a bit, you know what I mean?
No doubt.
So, you know, a lot of the bands, they might pull up to a truck stop, sleep on their bus. Next Level would probably find a Motel 6 or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Next Level would stay in Ramadas, I would imagine, but maybe only on days off. So there's a pecking order, and, you know, once you achieve a certain status, it's hard to go back because that's what you got used to.
Without naming names, where was the worst hotel stay you've ever had on tour?
Oh, I don't know. You know, because when you first get hotels, it doesn't matter how many cockroaches you see, there's a bed and it feels good.
Have you ever had a Spinal Tap moment?
Kidding. The only thing I can relate that to is, like, heading to the stage sometimes, you know, and people don't know where they're going and you get lost and go down wrong corridor and stupid shit like that.
You never got pulled aside at the airport and had to whip out a cucumber wrapped in tinfoil or anything?
Well, no.
No.
No. My Spinal Tap rock star moment was soon after 9/11. So I would always have a bottle of vodka with me or something, you know, for the hotel, so I have something to occupy myself if there's nothing to do. And back then, you know, I carried in my carry-on, and, you know, wasn't a big deal. And then something passed to where if you had an open container of anything, you had to swig it. You know, you had to take a drink. So
yeah.
I get up there on a severely hungover day, like 9 a.m., and the guy's all, "Can you take a drink of this, please?" I'm like, "What, are you kidding me?" But, I did it. I will lose no booze before it's time. So we were friends again that day.
Well, Cary, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us about the tour and about the album and about your snakes. Anything else you want to tell anybody about?
No. It's about as good as it gets at the moment.
Okay, cool. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Club King Snake Web Radio. This has been Jeff Berenger with Cary King of Slayer, and we'll see you guys on the road.
Catch up with you later, man.